I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights, make it spicy. My margaritas, make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Want to listen to the full Burt Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burt Show subscriber. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burt Show.
It was all going so well. He was building momentum. He was stretching himself a little bit. He was proud that his Twitch stream, the numbers were going up on it. And now, Romeo, it's over? It's over.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That was fast.
Very fast. Yeah, you know what it is? Okay, so I think I have a couple of legitimate reasons as to why I had to take a break. But then it was one of those situations where you take a break and then it's like hard to get back into. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like struggling to like get that energy to get back into it again.
It's like going to the gym when you miss one day, your body and your mind are like, wow, this was easy. I know. One becomes two, becomes three, becomes four. Right?
And next thing you know, you're like out of the gym for like a month. It's happened to me before as well. So yeah, it's one of those things where it started off as one excuse and then it led up to, oh, I can't do it because of this and this and that, right? And the first excuse that I had was my mom. I live with my parents. I've shared you guys that I live with my parents before. And my mom is always having guests in the house. So all these guests, for some reason, they just decided to pop kids. So all these kids are in the house as well. And now you have all these little kids running down in the hallway back and forth. And I'm not 100% sure whether or not the people on stream could hear it. But I could hear it, and it would just take me out of what I was doing, mm-hmm. that it was just so hard to concentrate and be focused on that one thing. So that was excuse number one.
Okay.
Excuse number two was, there's this thing, this creature in my house that I'm not a bad person. I really am not a bad person, but the amount of times that I thought about killing this animal,
oh my God,
is a little concerning.
You got real.
Okay.
Yeah.
It did.
It's a freaking bird, okay?
Oh, it's a bird, okay. Oh,
it's a bird, okay. Yeah. So it's fine. It's fine.
Oh, we don't like birds around here. So.
No, we hate them.
It depends what kind they are.
Well, so, yeah. And, like, if it would have been dog or cat, we would have been concerned because Romeo might be a serial killer. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Bird, yeah. Still not good, but takes us down, like, a little less.
I think it starts with, like, young kids when they kill birds. Is that's, like, the first sign, like, you got problems.
Yeah, it's small, any small animal.
Yeah.
Any small, okay. Okay.
And then they graduate to dogs and cats.
Okay.
Is it one of those little finches that just constantly is chirping, or is it a parrot? What do you got going on?
It, I don't even know what it is. I think it's called, like, a ringneck bird or something like that. It's a little green.
Sounds like an invitation.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's not like it's chirping all the time. It's chirping and yelling whenever it sees me.
Oh, it's just you.
It's me.
It knows you hate it.
Oh, no, we hate each other. Okay.
Has it been proven that like birds can feel like vibrations from good or bad from people? You know, like dogs, I think can. I think Cats can also.
Birds can be highly intelligent.
Yes. Birds are picking up the bad vibes in Squawking at Romeo.
The thing is, like, okay, so yes, and I noticed that it was me because the other day my dad was in the house and he was walking and the bird was just calm. He was just there in the cage doing his thing like nothing else. Then I walk into the living room and this thing starts just... And I'm just like...
It's trying to warn the rest of the house that the murderer's in there.
Yeah. And it's literally any time I get near this bird, it just puffs up.
Like, oh, it's yeah, like trying on to like... Isn't that... he's like trying to alpha dog you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a mating dance.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah, maybe he's trying to do you.
I don't think so. Because anytime...
Have some confidence in yourself, man.
Even if it was, I don't want that bird, okay?
The bird has a crush on you, though.
I don't... No. It's attacked me plenty of times. It, like, flies. And it, like, it thinks it I'm my dad. And it flies towards my shoulder. And when it realizes that I'm not my dad, it starts attacking my ear. And so it's like, I know there's this hatred between this bird and I, and it's always chirping. And I've noticed that, I guess when I'm streaming, it can hear my voice, and my voice is the thing that annoys this bird. Because anyone in my family can be talking in the living room, and it's quiet, it's fine, it's calm. Mm-hmm. The moment I say something, this bird starts going, like, I have a hater in the house, and it's this damn bird. It can't, like, it just, anytime I talk. So now when I was on stream, I was talking, obviously, right? I'm playing and I'm talking, and this bird is just going off in the background, and I'm pretty sure that my microphone could pick it up, so it was annoying me, and I'm sure that it was annoying the listeners. So that was another reason.
I'd use that as content, man. I think that's funny.
I watched
that. Yeah.
No, man.
You got a bird that has a crush on you, man. It's not so bad.
So either way, the combination of those two has made you realize, look, this is too much of a hassle. I'm just not going to do it anymore.
Not while I'm at home, but I definitely do think I want to get back into it again. I just need that momentum, you know, to get back into it. But it being at home with that bird, it's just...
Well, when you're... What about moving out?
Yeah, the universe is pointing to that. It feels like more often than not when you come on, we're like, is it an option yet to move out of the house?
Oh, yeah. No. We've gotten to that point because I obviously don't want to kill a living thing. You know what I'm saying?
Of course you don't. I know you're exaggerating.
I've thought about it. But
you want to,
yes,
but you won't.
It's the action behind it. I'm not taking action. So, yes. But, yes, I'm realizing more and more now that my American culture is kicking in and it's just like telling me to get the hell out the house. Because, yeah, it's getting rough. Yeah. Saving the money is not worth it anymore.
That bird in his head when you do leave is going to be like, oh my God, I won.
See, now,
it left.
It protected its territory.
Now I don't want to leave though.
The Bert Show.
Hey, have you ever had a premonition and it freaks you out when it actually comes true? You guys want to get in on this? I know it's early and you're probably busy, but you've probably been dying to tell somebody this freaky thing that happened to you. Like, you thought it and then it happened. 1-855-BERT-SHOW.
So I'm a big fan of, what is it, on the other side of fear is...
Nothing.
Okay, well, that doesn't sound as like, woo-woo, but I'm always like, on the other side of fear is an amazing life that you could live if you could get past your fear. That's how it goes in my head.
Yours does sound better than
ours. Yeah. Nothing. I'm like, why would I? This is about pushing past fear. So I'm a big fan of trying to step outside of the comfort zone and push through fear. But there are times that I wonder, like, when is the fear relevant? Like, when do you listen to your gut? And when is it just mental and you're like, I'm holding myself back? And there are three times in my life I can point to where I was doing something and my gut is like, do not do that. Bad vibes, bad vibes, bad vibes. And I listened. And the first one was when I was younger. I used to go for whenever we went to the beach, because we live by the coast, I would go on long walks at the beach at night by myself at the age of like 14, 15, felt safer back then. And I got to like this part of the beach that was not lit up by hotels and it was dark sand dunes, and something in my gut was like, turn around. And at any other time I wouldn't have thought twice. I would have just kept walking down the beach, and I started to go and like the feeling got stronger. And so I turned around and left. And of course I never know if I avoided some like crazy serial killer in the dunes or not. So I just sort of wrote it off. And then there was another time at my house a couple of years ago. I was taking out the trash. It was dark and stormy. And as soon as I started to take the trash can down the driveway, like towards the back of my house where there are woods, like the wind picked up really like big and it got real stormy and just kind of like you would see in a movie. And I was like, oh, it's a storm. That's weird. And I kept going and it got stronger and I started to walk back and it faded. And then I kept going back towards the woods again and it got stronger. And I was like, yep, I'm out. And I just left the trash can and went inside. And the third time was we were on a trip and we went into this little mom and pop, like gas station store, like, you know, the really cute old timey country stores. Mm-hmm. And I was excited. I'm like, they're going to be like stupid little vintage Coca-Cola signs and it's going to be adorable. And it was not. It was like something out of a horror movie. There were a group of people in the corner huddled. The shelves had all of these rows of rusted over frying pans that didn't match. No sets. There wasn't an air conditioning. It was a big box fan. Empty boiled peanut bags were laid out under the cooler shelves. There's one cooler. The rest of them were empty. The one filled, and it looked like the perfect stock of drinks. And the rest of the store was like, and I'm not trying to be rude, looked like where people just abandoned ruined items and they were trying to resell them. And I was like, it's nothing. But I started to get the feeling. I'm like, something is not right here. And I could just see them watching me walk through the store. And I'm like, something is not right. And we left. And when we had to pass back by that place, nothing happened. And I started to get the fear and the dread as we went back past this place. Like, I thought it was a heart attack. Like, I looked up symptoms and they're like, impending doom is a symptom of a heart attack. And I'm going and I'm like, Chad, I can't, something is wrong. Like, the anxiety and the dread settling over me, like, something is not right in this area. We have to get out of here. And I, you know, I'm a pretty rational person. I like to be able to shake it off. And I couldn't. And that's when I talked to my husband and he's like, yeah, I used to have premonitions and they would come true. And he said when he was a kid, he would sit in the car and then be able to map out what everyone was going to say next. And then they would say it.
Whoa.
And then he had a couple other things happen. He wrote like a short story because he's a writer, and a house burned down in it. And then a house burned down. His friend's house burned down. He met about the character meeting a woman named Cassie. And then years later, he met me. And some of these could be coincidences, but coupled with what happens in the car. So I'd love to know, like, I always want to know, am I insane for listening to my gut in those moments, or do I need to push past the fear? Am I holding myself back?
I think you got to listen to your gut. I think I've told you guys before, I was driving down one of the main roads right down here, and it's at an intersection where there are so many trees on the right side where you can't really see what's going on the right, but it's a stop sign, right? Not a stop sign, but a stop light. So, as this light turns from right to green, something in my head in a second was telling me, do not go yet. And I was the first in line to go, and I didn't. And as making that decision not to go, a car, a big truck actually, ran the red that I couldn't see to my right. And had I gone, as soon as it turned green, I would have definitely gotten hit in the side, T-boned, for sure. And it all happens in a second like that. And I don't know what it was. I don't know. I just had this feeling, and I listened to it, and sure enough, that guy went barreling through that red light.
I totally believe in this stuff, and I wanted you to ask your husband, Chad, if he will write a short story called Tommy Wins the Powerball.
Yeah, baby.
We're all ready for that. Yeah, it does freak you out, though, when it happens.
Yeah.
Some people call them guardian angels. I don't know what it is.
Well, they say that fear is actually like all your other senses pinging, and it's just the way your brain is processing it, and it makes it fear. So you might not be aware you're hearing something, you're feeling something. And so I'm like, but at the same time, I don't want to become a scaredy cat, live inside my house. I already have that problem.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Everyone knows the darkest part of the dark web is where the Alpha Bros are. But I have to say, I think they've gone a little too far now, because they've gone one step farther from their typical whatever they do, you know, hating women. And now they've started a bullying campaign for one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood, Margot Robbie. So the incels think that Margot Robbie isn't attractive anymore. It started with a handful of tweets, with one user named @NicholasVarola tweeting out a makeupless selfie of Margot and said she was, quote, definitely mid. Another person from the account @Bizlet7 said she's a hard seven. You used to find a Margot Robbie in every Blockbuster video in 1995. And normally,
so random.
What?
So random. That is like, you're trying to insult, but your insult is so stupid that it just doesn't even work. It's not landing.
I think that if you are going to post something that misogynistic and that superficial, that you, you as the dude have to post your picture also, right?
Well, that's what everyone's been doing now because some of their photos are up, some of them aren't, but they took one of the guy's faces and put them on Groot from the Minions movie and it fits really well. So people have been obviously coming to Margot's defense because, like, objectively, Margot Robbie, very attractive woman. So the fact that they're literally coming after her, and I mean, these tweets have millions and millions of views. So I mean, it's like, normally this wouldn't be headline making stuff. It's just alpha bros being alpha bros.
Idiots.
But they're just being idiots.
Yeah. She is your like typical stunning A-list movie star.
Yeah. If you guys had a Margot Robbie of your own, you wouldn't be online ripping on Margot Robbie.
Exactly.
Go find yourself a woman.
That's why they're so mad. And they're going so far. One person even made like a literal graph where they pointed out every single thing that they thought was wrong with Margot Robbie. And I thought she was perfect, but apparently you can't have neck wrinkles. Apparently you can't have what they called low asymmetrical cheekbones. Apparently that's what she has. They really have gone.
Because a woman deserves to be reduced to her. Yeah. Cheekbones.
And then these guys inside will be going, wow, I can't understand why I'm not getting laid.
You got a lot of time on your
hands. That's literally, what I'm
saying. Not be.
All right, Ed Sheeran, he might have the most diverse music friend group of all time. I mean, he has collabed with like everybody from Luke Combs to Justin Bieber to Beyonce and Eminem. And I think it just goes to show how talented this guy is because he can handle just about any song. And at one of his most recent concerts, he actually brought out one of his musical pals and sounded amazing.
Was he doing the show in Detroit?
Yeah, he was out in Detroit and he brought Eminem out. And I know he's talked about maybe doing a country album, but I honestly think he could handle a rap album.
I think he could too.
If Eminem's giving him the stamp of approval, why not?
Watch me find out today that wasn't Eminem. That was just a hologram.
It was AI. Okay, despite the jokes and the rumors, James Cameron says he is not going to be directing a movie about the Titanic submersible. He came out on Instagram. He was like, I don't normally respond to this kind of stuff, but I need to now. I am not in talks to do an Ocean Gate film, nor will I ever be, to our great disappointment.
That would be pretty... it's inappropriate.
It's beneath him.
Yeah.
It's beneath him.
James Cameron we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I know. That was like the first joke I feel like I saw came out on TikTok. People are like, James Cameron right now is getting ready for his next big payday. But it would be so insensitive considering it literally happened.
This is like a TMZ thing. Like they would put something like this together and it wouldn't shock me.
I wouldn't be surprised if TMZ was working on it now. Huh. Dolly Parton says she never plans to retire. She went on Greatest Hits Radio and said, I'm not one to sit around and do nothing. She said, I would never retire. She's hoping that she just drops dead in the middle of one of her songs while she's on stage.
It's a very classic Dolly Parton thing to say.
So she doesn't just want to work 9 to 5. She wants to work 24/7, it seems like, until the day she dies.
No offense, you guys. I don't want to die in this studio with you guys in the middle of a show.
You know what?
Not offended.
No offense taken.
Okay, no, well, I don't either.
No.
I think we're all pretty much on the same page
right
there. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be fair.
A beach would be better. Agree with you.
Yeah.
Not a Dolly Parton concert?
No.
If you do it, could you do it during a live stream so we get the views?
Oh, I'll definitely do it during prime time.
Thank you. Okay.
And
cool.
If you go down, I'm just interested to see who's going to be the first to jump to mouth to mouth.
Not it.
Hey, you're the first one to think about it, Tommy.
Right. You didn't even have brought it up.
Well, there's glass and a door between me. No need for me.
It was one of the most infamous friendship breakups in entertainment, and now it looks like the iconic duo has made up. I'll fill you in on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Turns out Abby and Cassie are friskier and, dare I say, what? Which word I'm looking for?
Horny.
Freaky. Freaky. In a way that we didn't know, but you will now when you listen to our bonus content. That's where we can do more adult stuff. So they showed us a side of themselves that we had not seen before. And you can hear it in the bonus content, burtshow.com/bonusBS. All right, it was a big weekend for Mo and for Katie. Katie was especially nervous for this Live in the Moment podcast because her family is going to be there showing her love and support.
And I was terrified. I was basically hesitant because I've never really invited my parents into my world. Like, yes, they know what I do and they're aware, but they've never really listened to the podcast or a lot of the segments that I do here on the show in general. So I didn't know how they were going to receive it being in the audience of,
all right, cool, yay, Katie, good job, or whoa, 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 whoa.
And it's a very different show than what we do here. I mean, you can do that with podcasts. You can do more adult stuff and
be a little more reverent.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if you know your parents are listening, you certainly are probably going to act differently.
And that's what I was afraid of, because that's the like anxiousness that I was feeling before I walked out was, okay, Katie, we can't go too far because your mom and your aunt are going to be looking at you weird. But for some reason, I actually didn't hold back like I thought I would.
Was that for some reason alcohol?
No.
No?
I don't
you
believe
didn't
so.
You really drink?
No,
really?
I had like a glass of Chardonnay and that was really it.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to go too crazy or anything like that. So,
Abby was there. It was so cool because we wanted to show our support. So myself and my husband went, Katie's become like a part of our family, and we wanted to show our support for Mo and for Katie. And then I'm watching Insta stories as we're driving to City Winery, and I see Abby, and it's Abby and Rebecca and all the interns.
Cool.
Yes. So they all went and they had a table as well. So we're, you know, everybody was really excited and pumped for the evening. And then your mom was so sweet. We were very low key, but I wish I could have talked to her more after the show, because I passed her and she's like, Katie told me not to talk to you till after the show, but I got to give you a hug. They got to take care of my baby. Your mother was so sweet. And so tell her it was lovely to meet her. I'm sorry we didn't get to chat more.
I'll let her know.
But you say like you didn't hold back. She's being modest.
Really? You went all in.
Katie went off.
On what? Specifically?
Would you not agree?
She went full steam ahead.
Like, at what point were you guys sitting there going, oh my God, I can't believe she's doing that in front of her mom?
The stripper car story.
It was somewhere between the stripper car story and the Kegel exercises. For sure.
It's funny, too, because when I thought at first, like, all right, Katie might be exaggerating a little bit, until I met your aunt. And I realized, like, you can feel her aunt's energy. She don't play. She's very militant. She's like, she's cool, she's sweet, but she's got that about her to where I can completely see why Katie would have held back. So when y'all had that talk in the green room, mm-hmm. where you were kind of trying your best to warm your aunt up to what might happen, and her aunt wasn't really buying into it much, she was just looking at her like, okay. Uh-huh. And I thought it was just like she wasn't giving Katie any type of like space to go be herself. So I really thought Katie was going to lock down after that moment. But no, like they said, she went the other way.
What did you tell your aunt to like prepare her? And then how were you feeling between the green room and going on stage? Were you having like second thoughts? Maybe I'll do it something safer.
Yeah, I was. So in the green room with my aunt, we were just having this conversation. I was trying to tell her, you know, you might want to just be prepared for what I may say. And she's like, it's cool. I'm just here to support you. There's nothing that I haven't heard or haven't seen. And I was like, no, I'm telling you.
No, there is.
There is. There's a lot.
Here's the time.
I'm trying to tell you, but she was so calm. So I was like, okay, can't say I warned you. I didn't warn you. And so after she went out and sat down, everything went out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mo and I were like, okay, we got to be focused. And so then when I walked out on that stage and I looked out into the crowd, I couldn't see their table. So I was like, perfect.
Yeah.
I can't really see because of the lights. So I'm like, I can't see your mm-hmm. facial expressions. And that's, I guess, what helped me relax more.
You were so focused, you sat in the wrong chair.
Yeah, yes. I was so focused, I even sat in the wrong chair.
And I just told her, I said, it was three seats. I'm sitting in the one in the middle. I'm like, Katie, be to my right so that we'll both be like comfortable like we always are. She's like, okay, got it. I go out there, Katie in the middle seat.
Taking over the chair.
I just said no. But I am glad that I didn't hold back because they actually enjoyed it and they like were proud of me. So proud that during the show, they were texting me comments. My mom was like, you spit on what?
During the show?
Yes.
Now, do you have your phone out? Or are you seeing the notifications go off now?
I didn't see it until after. No, because I had my phone in my pocket. But I'm seeing these messages. My aunt's like, don't forget to shout out your hairstylist. Like, y'all thought I was just going to check my phone during the show?
Oh, I forgot about the adult toy story, too.
Yeah.
Oh, you covered that too. One.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Oh, beautiful.
Uh-huh. Okay. We didn't hold back at all.
It was a good show?
It was a great show.
Good,
it was amazing.
Man.
Good night.
Very, very good. Well, I'm glad it all worked out.
It all worked out. I was worried about nothing. They enjoyed it.
Okay.
I had a great time.
Very cool.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't gotta worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
The Burt Show.
So she is assuming now, one of the sisters here, that the other sister is about to say, hey, can we do a dual baby shower? And she knows before she even has, she doesn't want to do it. So she's wondering, is there a way that I can stop this before it even starts? Mo has the email.
My boyfriend and I are expecting our first child in 3 months.
Congrats.
And we're really excited. The problem? My sister and her husband are expecting their second baby 2 months after us, and we're both really angry about it. Okay. I know that sounds horrible, but if you knew her like we do, you'd understand.
How dare she have children?
I know I should be happy, but my sister has a long history of constantly trying to one-up me and do things just because I'm doing them. I really think she planned this so that they could try to do a dual baby shower and cash in on our gifts, which would not be out of character.
All right, just so I have this right, she is accusing her sister of purposely getting pregnant at the exact same time she did to steal her thunder?
Yep.
That's what she's... Do you know any women that have done that?
I don't personally know, but I'm not going to put it past somebody.
With the level of crazy I've been front row to, this doesn't surprise me.
So the sister finds out that the other sister's pregnant, and she goes to her husband and goes, look,
yep,
Joanne is pregnant. Get in here. You got work to do.
Well, I don't know if she would like admit that to her husband. And I know some sister relationships are extremely tight and beautiful. My nieces have the most adorable, precious, loving relationship, right? And then it can go to the complete opposite end of the spectrum where it's like sisters just, they're like mortal enemies. And like, yes, they are blood related, but they do not get along. And then you have everything in between. So do I think she went to her husband and was like, this is what we're doing? No, but I could see her seducing her husband in order to get pregnant so she can get at her sister by leaving him out of this.
This might be one of the few times where we don't get any calls if I ask for it. All right. If you have purposely gotten pregnant because you wanted to get pregnant at the same time as a friend or a sister in a competitive way, not one of these like, you know what would be really, really fun if we both got pregnant together?
A pregnancy pact.
Pregnancy pact, which ends up, like we have found out over the years, is not nearly as fun as women think it's going to be. But like you did it in a competitive way to steal somebody else's thunder, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, and we will put you on the voice disguiser so nobody knows how bad a person you are.
When I announced my pregnancy, you could tell she wasn't genuinely excited for me. Instead, she was on a mission to get pregnant so she could get the attention back on her, which is the way she likes it. Mission accomplished. Please don't blame this on the pregnancy hormones. My sister is simply not a nice person. I would love to have a better relationship with her, but that's just not in the cards. So, my question is twofold. How do I get over my anger about this, and how do I politely tell my sister, since I know she will ask, that I do not want to do a dual baby shower? I want to handle this delicately because I know I will be turned into the bad guy if I say no. We are dealing with a master manipulator here.
Well, I think if you approach her first to try to stop it before it happens, if she is a manipulator, she will turn that around and she will tell everybody like, oh, could you believe? Mm-hmm. Can you believe the ego on my sister who would assume that I was just going to ask to have the dual shower? So I don't think I would do anything about it until she actually asks.
And as far as how do I get over my anger about this, I would encourage you to realize that it's no longer about you.
you are forming life. And so your vibes, your energy, like your physical health and mental health and emotional health is connected to that baby right now. So get over your anger and do it for your baby.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that will help you be able to compartmentalize. And no, you can't control your sister and how she acts, but you can control how you react to her. So do not allow her to get underneath your skin, because you owe that to your baby, right? So I say try to have that mindset. And as far as how to handle it delicately, I think everybody would it's your first baby. It's going to be their second. So one, she gets a sprinkle, not a shower. You get to have your full-on shower. And that's the stance I would take. Like, hey, you know, our first baby, we really want to have this special memory for just us.
I know it's easier said than done, but I feel like she just has to stop focusing on her sister.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to focus on you, focus on your situation. This is obviously one of the most important times of your life. Like, don't worry about what your sister is doing. I wouldn't even try to think about it until she finally did come to me and ask. And in that point, I wouldn't feel bad at all about saying, I just want to do this on my own. I want it to be separate. I don't think she has to feel like the bad guy for wanting that.
Yeah, I feel like it would be so easy to make her the bad guy, like from her sister's point of view, because how do you really go about saying, well, I want this day to be all about me. It's my special day. So I feel like the only really easy way to go about this is to try and put as much focus on your baby as possible and just be like, listen, like, it's my first kid. Like, I really want just this to be a very special day about my baby, and not it be like a dual thing where we have to share the attention.
Yeah, some perspective here would be really, really great. It's a miracle to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. Ask Kristen. Mm-hmm. It ain't easy, right? Sometimes it's really not easy. It's truly a mathematical miracle, and it has happened to you. Why are you going to let this superficial crap get in the way of that happiness? What a gift.
There you go.
The Burt Show.
Over 90% of teachers spend their own money on school supplies, decorations, and a whole bunch of other items. And all of those items, on average, cost about $750 a year for teachers. That's why each year we try to hook as many as we can up with Clear My Wish List.
Teachers, get all your classroom needs fulfilled right now. Burt Show Clear My Wish List.
All right, today we are going to help Carly Shaw. She is a first-year teacher. She's going to be teaching fourth grade at Lyman Hall Elementary in Gainesville, and she was nominated by a former teacher, Nicole Cruz, who called in.
Good morning, Burt Show. My name is Nicole Cruz, and I am actually calling on behalf of a young lady named Carly Shaw. Carly Shaw is going to be a first-year teacher in Hall County. She's going to be teaching fourth grade, and she is a young lady that I was her basketball coach from the time that she was 8 years old, watched her grow up the entire years of her life, have been pretty active in her life. I am a person who was a teacher and recently left the profession, so I know how expensive it is to get your classroom up and running. So Carly was recently married, and she has a new husband who is serving overseas. So I would really, really love to help this young lady get her classroom up and running and essentially get her list cleared for her, because she is going to be an amazing teacher.
This is a first. I don't think we've ever had a former teacher nominate a first-year teacher in order to get her wish list completely filled out and completed.
Super cool.
It's very sweet.
So now, if you guys are listening and you can spend even $5 on some of these school supplies for Carly, mm-hmm. that would be huge. We're hoping to clear this entire list today. Can you imagine going to school for the first time and then not even realizing that, oh my God, I had to spend all this money on the kids? I had no idea.
And there is, so I'm looking at Carly's wish list right now. You can go to theburtshow.com and check it out. I mean, you can get her the push pins she needs for $7.49. There's all kinds of sweet books. You talk about the quintessential pencil sharpener that you have to have, even though we had the crank one back in the day. This one, you just whatever. But there, I mean, everything from $5 to $50 and in between, whatever fits your budget, you can get an item off of Carly's wish list.
Carly's actually called in. This doesn't happen much either. Hey, Carly, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, you
surprise!
Surprise! Hey, congratulations, Ernie. You're kind of freaking out that it's gonna, you're gonna be a teacher.
I know. This is so exciting.
And what did Nicole mean to you?
That it means so much to me that she even considered the call on my behalf. And I got really emotional yesterday when she did it. So I'm just really grateful for that.
Did you have any idea going into the school year that you're going to have to spend your own cash on supplies and books and stuff like that?
Oh, yes. I was fully expecting that.
Teachers know now.
$750, yep. Man.
Wow.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. So what else is on that list, Kristen?
So let's see. There, she has dice for the kids to use. There's also multiplication flashcards. Oh, cute little pencil toppers that are cupcakes. Also, what do you use, like, the fun little miniature furry animals for?
I want to use those to help with my classroom environment and have my students learn a like responsibility to take care of their own things. So
that's so cute. And there's tons of books. And also what we've noticed is for kids with ADD, they have those bands that you put on the bottom of the chairs for the more fidgety kids so they can, like, sit there and bounce their feet on the bands, which I think is really cool.
Oh, I want one of those for in here.
Yeah, you could use one.
Carly, as a first-year teacher going into it, what are you most nervous about?
Honestly, open house.
Oh, really? Meeting all the kids and the parents?
Yeah, just having, you know, I'm going to have 20 kids of my own, so I haven't had that, like, situation before, so I'm really excited and nervous all at the same time.
Are you getting advice from other people that you know that have been teachers for longer, and what's that advice?
Oh, yes. It's just to go in every day. You know, it's not going to be easy to go in every day, just remembering why I chose this profession and why I've worked so hard and did everything that I did through college with student teaching, and just remembering that every day that I'm doing it for the kids and not, obviously not for the money, but yeah.
Yeah, obviously not for the money.
Yeah.
All right, Carly, well, good luck.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you. I just want to thank Nicole for even considering to nominate me for this, and to thank you to the Burt Show for helping me hopefully fulfill my wish list, and I'm just really excited for the school year and how this is going to help my students. Oh,
thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
All right, fam. So if you guys can take care of Carly today, of course, she's a first-year teacher, going to be teaching fourth grade. There is a link up to her wish list right now at theburtshow.com, and it'll be on all of our socials also.
The Burt Show.
All right, so she is having a really difficult time forgiving her friend. Now, her friend went outside of her marriage, and it's a very hard thing to look at your friend thinking, look, she could never do that. And now she did, and she's having a hard time continuing to be friends.
All right, so the email reads, this was a girl's night out gone wrong. Way, way wrong. I'm so disgusted by one friend's behavior. I'm not sure I can still be friends with her. My friend's husband and my husband were out of town on business. So the two of us decided to do a girls' night out. We got a group of friends together, made a night of it. We all got sitters, dinner was a blast, and then we went to a club. We were bombarded by guys. Although we are all married and faithful, the attention felt great. I don't think it's the attention that's the problem. It's how you react to that attention. One of my closer friends spent the night talking and dancing with one guy in particular. When it was time to go, I couldn't find her. Do you have that one friend, Abby? The one where that she disappears and you can't find her?
100%. And then you've got to, like, go across the bar being like, Crystal!
It's different for women than it is guys, too, right? We have guys that just, you lose them in the middle of the night, you don't even think twice about it.
I don't even look for them. Not at all.
No, she goes on to say, we have a hard rule, leave no woman behind. I finally got a text that read, go ahead home without me, I'll call you tomorrow. The next day she called and told me she cheated on her husband. I was disgusted and I told her so. We argued for a few minutes and then I hung up on her. She has reached out over and over and over, but I have not responded. I simply can't accept her behavior. Am I a bad friend? Should I give her a chance to explain?
What's best thing?
So I actually, one of my best friends was put in this situation when they went on, like, a girls trip to another city, and she goes out with this friend all the time, and it started becoming a pattern. So the first time it happened, she was like, okay,
I know you're a little unhappy in your marriage. You've been with this guy for 10 years since like high school. And so like one time, all right, we'll forgive and forget and move on. But now every time she goes out, it's like this fun thing. Like, oh my, well, fun thing to the friend who's cheating, obviously not fun for her to be involved. Yeah. Every time like midnight hits, it's like Cinderella, but instead of losing her slippers, she finds Chad.
This one fits just right.
I would hear her out just because she's my friend. Yeah. Hearing her out, I don't think it's necessarily supporting what she's done, but I would give her an opportunity to at least explain. And go from there.
All right, so I'm going to try this angle.
Okay.
Compassion. So if you guys are really, really friends, I'm sure she doesn't feel really proud of herself right now. In fact, she might be beating the crap out of herself. This might have been the first time this has happened. You don't really know what's going on in her marriage. She probably, I'm guessing, if she's a friend of yours and you're a good person, she's probably a good person. She screwed up. Mm-hmm. She screwed up big time. So she might be going through all the guilty feelings right now, and she might need somebody to turn to. So I'm going to suggest rather than judging her, hear her out, judge her privately, and then help her. She might really, really need some help if she's a friend.
Not all people who do bad things are bad people. Sometimes you're a good person that did a bad thing. And if this is really your friend and it's a close friend, then you accept them for their attributes and you accept them for their flaws. And she made a mistake. I would definitely, it's not that you're accepting her behavior. Cause I have this line I use all the time. Acceptance is not approval. So she did it. You can hear her out. So do I think you're a bad friend? Not yet, but if you completely write her off and you don't talk to her to understand why she did it, where she's coming from, then yeah, you're there for your friends even when they make mistakes. That's what you do.
If I spoke to my friend and my friend came off as if they like kind of didn't care and they weren't taking full accountability for it, then I would feel like, okay, maybe I have a decision to make as far as our friendship. But outside of that, I would be supportive.
I think compassion is such a great, good exercise in not being a fixer. So that's the type of friend that I am. Like, I see my friend stepping out of line and I want to, I'm like the judgy friend. I'm like, why would you do that? But compassion, I mean, like your friends, they can't go to anybody else. You can't go to your parents, really, if you cheat on your husband, because then they've got to live with that thought for the rest of like every Thanksgiving that you go to. So really, like, you do have to be that soft place to land with compassion if this happens.
I mean, really what's going on here is that you're really sort of offended that your friend's values don't match yours, and you're so upset by it that you feel like if you even get involved and talk to her at all that you're endorsing it. But like Kristen said, you're not endorsing it.
No, you're not. And again, it's I think you should get to the why. Like, try to understand why she did what she did, because like you said earlier, Bert, you never know what's going on behind closed doors and what's going on in that marriage and that relationship, even if it is a close friend. Because I have close friends that sometimes they hold on to that information until they're ready to disclose it, and then we're months down the road as to, like, you know, why there's might be some struggles or issues. So give her a chance to explain herself.
The Bert Show.
No one hit the Powerball on Saturday. No one hit the Powerball. You guys know what that thing's up to now?
No.
$900 million.
Dang.
$900 million.
But how much do you actually get?
Let's say you get $400
million. A lousy $400
million. Poor. Yeah, if you get $400 million, you're poor.
That's, dang. I didn't even realize it till this morning when I read the AGC.
Do you play?
No, when it's at $900 million, I'll make a stop.
Okay.
Why not? At least it'll be on my to-do list, and then I'll go buy the QT and won't stop. and the Mega Millions is up there, too. It's like $640 million.
Dang. You know you can play online now. You don't even have to stop.
That's right. That's
what I do.
That's smart. Yeah, so play if you want. $900 million. All right, so let's get Lisa on. You guys remember her from Friday, right? She was going to try to put a stop to this ring.
Yeah, so she was on her boyfriend's computer, and his text messages are connected to his Mac. And there was a text message with his mom that popped up, and she saw it, and she saw the word ring, and she saw the word proposal. And of course, Lisa couldn't help herself, and she had to check out the text message. And there was a picture of his grandmother's ring, and she was like, he's going to propose to me, yay, with his grandmother's ring. Boo. It's a vintage ring that she's just not a fan of.
Boo.
So we took phone calls and we all threw in our 2 cents. Like, you know, maybe one listener said, maybe mom sent the photo because they're going to take the stone out of it, put it in a new setting. Like, you never know. You can alter rings to make them more personalized to the person you're proposing to. And she didn't know if she should like interject now and say something, wait and have him propose with the ring and then say something afterwards. So we just had to follow up and see, oh no, what if she's engaged or if she's not engaged, if she said anything about the ring.
And you gave her the new truth, right? That she had a friend.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I forgot about my new truth. Uh-huh. My advice was make up a friend that got engaged, find like a vintage ring that's somewhat similar, obviously not the same, and show him the picture. Be like, oh, yeah, Sarah got engaged, and this is the picture of her ring. And yeah, it's this, you know, she loves it. It's just not really my jam. I'm not big on vintage, and kind of plant that seed that that's not her style. So hopefully he won't propose with that ring.
And I think he would hear that loud and clear.
You would hope.
Or he may not. What? You don't think?
I don't know if he would connect the two.
Because guys are stupid.
Yeah. So let's find out how it went. Hey, Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Good. Okay. So you really had a couple of options. You could either lie/create a new truth, like Kristen says. You could either try to do something about this beforehand or let the engagement happen with the ring and then deal with it later. So what did you end up doing?
So what I did is I took those advice. I was talking to my boyfriend and I showed him this picture that I looked up. I said that a friend from work, she'd just gotten engaged, and I really wasn't a fan of her ring. It was a vintage ring that had been passed down in the family. And I was like, yeah, it just is not my style. And he was like, oh, and he got really, really quiet. And I was like, huh, what's up? And he was like, yeah, well, I think it's beautiful. And it's a family heirloom. And what if, the guy, he always imagined his fiance and his wife wearing this ring that had been passed down in the family through generations. And so I didn't say anything else because I felt kind of bad. And I don't know, that's where it was left. I didn't push it any further.
Yeah, that was my fear, that it was going to be a sentimental mm-hmm. thing, because mm-hmm. I was like, it could either be an economical choice, like he just wants to have an heirloom that he doesn't have to pay for, but also like my big fear was, what if he had this really special relationship with his grandmother, and now you've just we've just squashed that dream, Lisa.
You just spit in his grandmother's face.
Oh my God, no.
So at this point, what happens?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm torn. I mean, it's more important not to hurt his feelings because I love him. I want to be married to him, you know. But I don't know.
Do you think you would want, if he proposes with that ring, do you think you'd be happy in the moment? And then, like, maybe you consider asking him to get you a different ring afterwards. Do you think you could do that?
Maybe, or maybe a ring to wear. In addition, I mean, it's so expensive, though, but or maybe somehow repurpose the ring. I don't know if that would be, you know, go against the tradition.
Would it really get into your head that much? So if he proposes with this thing and you really don't like it because it's not your style, when you're showing everybody, just from a woman's standpoint, does that yes. really get it? It does.
Okay. Sorry.
Just that you're not proud of it, so you don't even, you almost don't want to share it?
It's not that you're not proud of it. I don't think it's that she's not proud of it. It's just, it's not her style. It's not what she would normally wear. So, like, it would be like if Bart got me a gold ring. I don't wear gold. Like, I wear silver all the time. So it would just be out of place.
Is there a guy's equivalent? You know, like Eliza has made me like bracelets that aren't my style, but it's a sentimental thing, so I'll keep it on until it falls off. Uh-huh.
What if it was a watch you had to wear every day for the rest of your life? Like, I think watches are kind of the equivalent.
It wouldn't bother me. It wouldn't. Like, if it came from, like, Tiffany's grandfather passed away in the war or something, and I wore watches, I would wear it, and I wouldn't think twice about it.
But it's an ugly watch that you don't like. Think of it that way. Like, it's you look at it, and you're like, that is not me. That is not my style. Maybe somebody else's, but I really do not like that watch at all. And then you have to wear it
every single day. And if you take it off, you will get questioned why you took the watch off and why do you not love your spouse anymore.
Mm-hmm. I would show my love by wearing it so much that I break it.
Plot twist. I don't hate it.
All right, Lisa, keep us posted.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, see you now. Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
All right, I think I'm about to be a big old bummer, but I got to tell you guys that something really sad happened over the weekend. My mom fell and busted her hip.
Oh man, I'm sorry.
So,
is she okay?
I am not entirely sure. So it gets a little bit complicated here because for those of you that don't know, my mother has never had a really great relationship with any of her kids. She's kind of ostracized all of us. So none of us really are in a lot of contact with her whatsoever. She is in New York City, and my half brother that's up there is close to her in location. Certainly not close to her, but has been taking the responsibility of taking care of her while she is in her memory care facility. Her husband passed away a while ago also, and she's not in great shape. So he's doing what he can for her to be comfortable and has put her in this memory care facility where she fell, I guess, over the weekend and broke her hip and went into surgery. So he doesn't really talk to me unless there's something going on with my mom that we all need to know about. So we sent an email just detailing exactly what happened. And then I asked for another contact, somebody that I could talk to constantly about what's going on. He gave me that. I emailed her, but I still don't have a whole bunch of details on the whole thing. What I do know is that when you have dementia and you get to her age, which I believe is 85, that once you break a hip, man, the mortality rate is pretty high. It's real high within about a year. I started searching it, and I didn't like my search initially, so I did another one.
Yeah, I was going to say, why are you searching that?
Because I have always sort of known that when you break a hip and you're older that things go downhill really quickly, and I wanted to know how quickly. And when I did this search, I'm like, that can't be right. It said 1 in 3 adults aged 50 and over dies within 12 months of suffering a hip fracture.
Whoa.
And older adults have a 5 to 8 times higher risk of dying within the first 3 months.
Why?
So I'm like, I don't believe that. So I looked again, and it says mortality rate after first year was found to be about 40% after 80.
But why? Like, is it because they're just not mobile anymore, so everything goes downhill?
So this is all going to come together for you guys, because remember a couple weeks ago I told you that I'm trying to find my mom some purpose.
Mm-hmm.
She gets up in the morning. She's got really bad dementia. I'm not even sure what stage it is, but it's bad. I know that. She walks out of her room and she goes and she sits into the common area and she sits there and she watches TV. People try to talk to her. She doesn't really talk back. Sometimes she engages in activities. Most of the time she doesn't. So she doesn't even really have a purpose, which I was really concerned about. So now you've got a woman that doesn't have purpose, can't remember what's going on in her life, can't quite figure out why she's not going home, and she's not mobile really to begin with anyway, so I can't see her taking her rehab seriously or the therapy seriously. And if I'm being 100% honest with myself, I mean, I think this sort of gives her the opportunity to let go of her life, which she's sort of been wanting to do. Remember, I've come in here how many times saying I checked in with her this week, and she just wants to kind of kill herself. She said she's had thoughts about jumping off her apartment. So I think this just might be the thing where she just kind of like gives in.
It's one of those things where an object in motion stays in motion. And if something like this happens and derails you, I can see how it can be difficult. I'm really sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The struggle, I decided this weekend I'm going to handle things differently from here on out with my mom. And the attitude I'm going to have is the one that you guys hate that I say, and that's F my feelings.
Uh-huh.
I really feel that way. F my feelings right now. My mom really, really needs some help. And I just got to get rid of the past. It's done, man. The way she handled things as a mom is the way she handled things as a mom. She sucked at it. She gave up all 3 kids. She was never there for any of us, and I've held that resentment. I'm a damn adult now, man, and it's just time to keep that stuff in the past and do what's right. So I spent about an hour really struggling with the apathy I was feeling when I got the email. Like, I know I should feel badly about this. I know I should feel like I should rush right up there right now. But the truth of the matter is I just don't feel it, because we she didn't invest in our relationship.
And that's okay. I want you to recognize, like, you know that's okay, right? I don't want you to guilt yourself or make yourself feel bad because you don't have more empathy for your mother.
I think anybody that's gone through it struggles with this every time.
I'm sure.
I'm so glad you haven't had to. And I know a lot of you guys get put off when I talk about the lack of feelings when it comes to parents because you haven't gone through it. But for those of us that have, you'd understand how we struggle with these situations and doing what's right. And I know I'm a compassionate, caring person, and this is my mother. Mm-hmm. So I should have stronger feelings. So there is kind of guilt and shame associated with that. But I've decided I sat in it for about an hour and I realized that's it. No more. It's in the past. Do what's right. So I think I'm going to fly up there this weekend, maybe bring the family, visit her. And just at this point, you know, who knows how long she has left, especially with those statistics. Mm. But it's time to keep that stuff in the past and just do what's right now.
And like, you don't regret how you handled the latter part of your father's life.
Not at all. Not at all.
And I think maybe this was your wake up call is like, okay, well, this is how I'm going to proceed.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show. So I want to thank everybody who came out to support Katie and myself at the In the Moment Live at City Winery over the weekend. It was an amazing night and an even more amazing crowd. I was very happy to see how everybody was so willing to participate and be a part of the show. That was probably my favorite part of the night. Like people getting up, telling their stories about what they're experiencing with their significant others and then letting us make fun of them in front of everybody. it was great. And I'm super proud of Katie because, I mean, leading up to it, you know, Katie kept talking about how this was such a big moment for her. I mean, to be in this, I guess, at City Winery for her felt like a more professional environment. And mm-hmm. she was so nervous. And I told her, as soon as we go out there, something's going to happen to you. I promise. I don't know what it is, but it happens to me every time. Like, all of the anxiety goes away the moment you're on stage and the lights are on and you just turn into a different person. And I think that's exactly what Katie did. You were great. You handled it so well. I'm so proud of you. And yeah, it was an amazing night. So once again, I thank y'all for coming too as well, Kristen and Abby, and for bringing the interns. It was fun to have y'all there. That made it better. Of course, I threw in a Kristen story because I knew she was going to be there.
Sitting in the back, couldn't do nothing about it.
No mic going back that far.
Katie even said, like, I think I heard Kristen say, oh no, all the way up here. And I was like, yes.
What was the story you told? I basically gave the four infractions I feel like Kristen has just the four like most embarrassing situations that she has put me in since becoming a part of the Burt Show, and I forced Katie to choose which one was the worst right in front of Kristen.
Oh, yeah. I want to know at least two of these.
Well, I'll tell you all of them. She made me cry twice. And once at a BBA when we were doing BBA, and I cried in front of literally everybody. Live Like a Woman Week, getting a mammogram, putting a dress on, putting heels on. All of those were compiled into one. Inviting Landon, our BBA child, to my comedy show, and I had no idea he was there, and I certainly wouldn't have told a few of those jokes had I known. And what was the fourth one?
The pick.
Kristen
remembers.
Of course. The infamous sweatpants picture that I still get DM'd about to this day was because Kristen posted it. I made Katie choose between the four.
You're welcome for that one, okay?
Thank you. It's become legend.
It has. And for the record, I did not invite BBA Kid Landon to your last stand-up gig. His mother reached out to me wondering if it was appropriate for him to attend, and I was like, yeah, sure, it'll be great.
And it wasn't.
Do you guys have a next one planned?
Not yet, but I'm thinking the end of the year. We'll try to get one more in there. We'll figure out a day. And yeah, because I'm excited. I can't wait to do it again.
And Abby, you got one on the books for Breakup Breakdown, right?
Yeah, I'm doing my first. It's going to be more of like a meet and mingle with like a side of live podcast and lots of waffles. We're getting together at five. We're getting together at Five Church and doing my first ever, like, I don't know, live person in person event. I'm so excited.
Is it safe for Landon to go to?
That one might be a little bit safer for Landon.
Where can people get info on it?
You can head to my Instagram. I have it linked in my bio.
All right, Kristen, what's up with Georgia's Moms for Change?
Yeah, Georgia Moms for Change is an organization that Cassie and I have gotten involved with, and they're all about protecting our kids. So it's our kids over politics, our kids over stance. This is a bipartisan group, and it's just about educating ourselves on different policies as far as common sense gun laws, making sure our schools are going through the proper protocols to keep our kids safe when it comes to intruder drills, and also keeping our kids' minds safe when it comes to the emotional and mental toll some of these intruder drills take on our kids. Sure. So it's all encompassing, right? And we're all about keeping that momentum going. So Cassie and I hosted a Meet the Moms play date. So we invited some of our mom friends out to Morgan Falls Playground, which is gorgeous, by the way. I'd never been there. It's right there on the Chattahoochee in Sandy Springs.
Oh, I picked it because it was a shaded play area and I can't do the sunshine anymore. I'm a vampire. And it is like, it's gorgeous. It's this like beautiful playground. And then there's a huge park behind it overlooking like the river.
Yep.
It's a hidden gem. And Georgia Moms for Change bought snacks and waters and coloring stuff for the kids and stickers. And we all sat around and talked about why it was important to us and action items. And the thing is, people will think like my vote doesn't matter, my phone call doesn't matter. And I told the story. I have a background in fundraising. So people used to be like, I can only give a dollar and that's not going to make a difference. And I said, yeah, but if 20,000 people only gave a dollar, that's $20,000. Same thing with these calls. They can take less than 2 minutes. Georgia Moms for Change will give you a script from their Instagram page. You call, you leave a voicemail, and you made an impact. And it was really cool sitting around. And actually, after everyone had left, another mom in the playground was like, is this like a mommy fun meetup? And I got to tell her about Georgia Moms for Change.
Oh, no way.
Invite her to follow the page. And it's that easy. It was literally a 60-second, two-minute conversation because I didn't want to go like in-depth politics at the playground. Just a very lighthearted conversation like, hey, we have gun owners in this group. Mm-hmm. We have Republicans and Democrats. So if you want to see your kid a little bit safer in school, that's what we're about.
So yeah, it was just awesome to have our friends and their kids and all of our kids playing together. Jimmy was so excited to see Hazel.
Oh my God, he said Hazel's name and I melted.
Bye, Hazel. Because on our way over, I'm like, we're going to see Hazel and we're going to see Ren and we're going to see Ruby and we're going to see Luca and we're going to see Theodore. We're going to see Asa. So
there's no better symbol than to have them there also for this kind of meeting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because that's our why. Yeah. Like the moms ask, like, what's your why? And like my why was sitting in my lap eating pirate's booty. So if you want to host your own Meet the Moms play date, again, we keep these intimate because it's just about continuing to spread the word. You can go to Georgia Moms for Change on Instagram, click the link in their bio, sign up for their newsletter, and they'll help you host your own Meet the Moms play date. And it was awesome. We had a great time. We sweated our balls off, but it was still so fun. It was so hot.
So while we're talking about Atlanta, Cobb County is being highlighted on Hulu right now for all the wrong reasons.
For all the wrong reasons. So speaking of my podcast, my mom sent me this trailer. She's like, you need to get this woman on your breakup podcast because a teacher in Cobb County, he's like, saying he's a star is the wrong word, but his wife did a whole podcast about how he was like the perfect husband, but ended up getting exposed for having sex with his students. It's this awful story. She did a full podcast series about it. And now Hulu has an entire limited series about him.
It was the ideal marriage. We were soulmates. Little did I know I was married to a man who had done something so horrible that it would devastate our lives forever. I had a great marriage.
Love you so much.
Up until he was arrested, I remember walking in through the kitchen. The cops had kicked the door down, and he's just saying, it's over. It's all over.
Every single day, you look me in the eye and lied to me.
He was living a double life. I get into his email. I click on the folder that says photos.
What she found was like a trophy case.
Prostitutes, escorts, online, in person. He even cheated on me the week of our wedding. I never would have imagined the scope of what he had done.
Spencer.
Yeah, it's awful. They were college sweethearts. They broke up and then they got back together later in life. And she said for 7 years, she thought it was the perfect marriage. But obviously, there was a lot going on behind the scenes.
Dying. What's the name of the show?
It's called Betrayal, The Perfect Husband.
But of course, on Hulu right now.
On Hulu. And there's a podcast too.
It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.